This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Gotta love baseball season.
Is this our song for Boehm, for Marsh, the bullpen? Everyone, welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. After the Phillies lose 2 out of 3 to the Cardinals, shut out twice this weekend. Not a great weekend. Is it too early to have some real concerns? Joining us right now in studio, maybe with some solutions to the concerns, Rhea Hughes. Rhea, how are you?
Good morning. Is that the theme song from Titanic?
That is, yes.
Yes, it is.
And it went down today, like a million years years ago, right?
Oh, I didn't. Really?
Oh, today was the day?
I believe so.
We just play that whenever things are going bad. Oh, like this, the ship is sinking.
I thought Kyle was tuned into things and was, you know, tying
it in. He probably was.
Oh, just today, like, is it the anniversary?
I'm oblivious to that kind of stuff.
No, he was probably tuned in. Just like I'm tuned in. So this was brought to you. Rhea's hanging out with us by the Mattress Warehouse with exclusive bed mesh technology.
Great segue.
To find your perfect mattress.
That's a pro right there.
Yeah, I had to get it in. Got to get that.
April 15th, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. Oh,
that's
right.
I knew that. Well, so I guess it depends because it may have hit the iceberg on the 14th and then sunk on the 15th.
It took a couple days.
Well, it was like Abraham Lincoln was shot today but died tomorrow.
Right. You just choose whatever you want to do. All right, Rhea. Is it too
early? Pick your anniversary date.
Pick your Titanic sinking anniversary date. Rhea, is it too early to have some real concerns here?
I love looking at your board right now. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified. Fire Kevin Long. I'm no longer a Phillies fan. Although I don't think Cowboy Jim, is he allowed to be a Phillies fan?
I don't think he ever was.
He's a fraud. Yeah,
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, if your name is Cowboy Jim, then you are a fraud.
No one takes him seriously.
And I mean that, you know, with most utmost respect, Cowboy Jim. So here's the problem for the Phillies. So I had to do work around my house all weekend, which meant I had the game on. Mm-hmm. So when I was up and down the stairs, I've got Fransky mm-hmm. on, Fransky and Stocker. And then when I'm in the kitchen, I got, you know, Ben and Tom on.
Yep.
It was, so Saturday was kind of amusing as they turned double play after double
play.
I know.
That's remarkable.
It was ridiculous. Like, I enjoyed that. Friday, I'm not upset about, because I'm sure they got in at 6 o'clock. Friday was on Major League Baseball. You know, I think that was a disgrace what they did on Thursday night.
Well, usually those getaway games are day games anyway.
Well,
that one was a night
Atlanta
game.
Atlanta doesn't like them for some reason.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, that's ridiculous. But Sunday was a disgrace. It was listless. There was no, 20 in a row.
I mean, it was boring to watch. I was flipping over to the Masters. Jim Nantz whispering on my TV was more exciting.
I am not a golf person. I'm like you. But I went, the Masters has got to be way more interesting.
And it was.
And it was.
Way
it,
more.
And it was.
Yeah.
Whispering like
y'all
this.
Wrong for that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, Jim Nantz, you get to like raise the volume to hear him half the time.
And I'm not a Tony Romo fan. I was like, I need Tony to come here and juice things up
just
a little bit.
Scream, yell, something.
Exactly. No,
20 in a row is bad. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, making it go from bad to worse is Boehm and Marsh just seem totally lost right now.
Yeah. Marsh has got to go down. I mean, I don't think there's any. He's got two options. And I think it's more for him that I don't think they can keep running him bad out. When I heard him talk yesterday, I felt really bad for him. I go, you saw him in the field. No, he couldn't have got to all those balls. I mean, let's be honest, you know, in the outfield yesterday.
Sure.
But he just looks and sounds lost.
He does, and they tried him this year against lefties. Yeah. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't had a hit in April. It's April 14th today.
It was the Nationals. It was the first series, which I was like, wow, it was that long ago. Boom. And I don't always say this, and Hugh, you're going to be shocked. I think he's been unlucky of late.
He has hit the ball hard.
He's hit it really hard, unfortunately, directly into everybody's glove.
Yeah. And I thought that being at home, you know, sleeping in your own bed or seeing your family would kind of, you know, take a little bit of pressure off of him. Didn't seem like that was
the St. Louis homecoming didn't work.
I don't think it did. No. I don't think it did.
I don't think so either.
No. I think there's hope for him. I think Marsh needs to go down and figure out if he can hit anybody.
I think the issue with Marsh is more physical. Boehm, I'm with you. It's more mental because he's hitting it hard.
100%.
I just worry about Boehm mentally. Like, is he going to like totally cave mentally because he doesn't see any results? I hope they're showing him like, hey, you're hitting the ball hard. Eventually, some of those are going to find holes and you're going to be okay.
Yeah, that's how I feel about him.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong, but that's how I feel about him. Marsh, I'm just like, ugh. You know, I can't watch it anymore.
Well, it's been years. He hasn't improved at all. He strikes out so much.
No.
I don't see what he does really well on a field. Everyone's got a skill, right? Like, all these players have something they bring.
I think he's an above average defender.
I would say that. More in left than center, but above average.
Yeah.
But he doesn't hit for much power.
No.
He doesn't hit for average.
No.
He walks a decent amount, but not a lot.
No.
Strikes out a ton. All right, so if he's going down, what are we doing? Because as much as, you know, Hugh might have a victory tour if we play Rojas every day, I don't want to do that either. So who's playing center field here, Rhea?
Well, and I like, you know, I think Hugh and I are the last two standing members of the Johann Rojas Club.
Yeah. It's a smaller club these days.
We're hanging in there, but Hugh, I got to tell you, I'm fading fast. But yesterday was the bunt. Because, you know, and DeCamera pointed out, it's because, you know, he can't hit.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I didn't like the situation to bunt, but Joe goes, well, he can't hit, Rhea. That's why he's got, I'm like, you're making a valid point. I would play Johan Rojas and Sosa more than Marsh and Boehm right now. They're playing better. They're hitting better. Not that Johan, but his own base is better.
I think tonight Rojas gives him a better chance than Marsh.
I do.
And that's sad.
No question.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sosa's got to be on the field. I just feel that. And you know, I mentioned this to you before the show, and I know it's still a little early, but you know, Crawford's got to come up at some point.
Yeah, so that my question is, how quickly do they pull that lever versus, like, because it's the debate of his own development versus the Phillies need help. And I think we could be, those two things could intersect here soon.
It's starting to collide kind of early.
I'm not sure he's ready today, but if he's, they might need him today.
Why is it that other clubs can bring up 19 and 20 year olds?
And let him figure it out in the big leagues?
And let him figure it out. And if you're going to let anybody figure it out, and I mentioned this before and James thought it was very funny. Somebody who's grown up in the family business.
I think that's a fair point.
I mean, his father will be able to tell him, dude, just, you know, if they caught you, go up. You're still 20. Is he 21 now?
I think he recently turned 21, yeah.
You know, it's going to be fine. The kid's got a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I worry less about him than somebody who's not familiar with the business.
That's a fair point. I mean, sometimes you just throw him in the deep end and say, figure it out. But Rhea's point on, like, his dad played for years. He grew up in a clubhouse. Maybe he can figure this out on the fly.
Yeah, I think initially that has always been the plan. I think that now with everything, and not panicking, but when you talk about the Cardinals and losing to the Cardinals.
They're not very good.
Yeah.
Come on, that starting pitcher yesterday.
Matthew Liberatore? Guy came into the game with a 4-4 career ERA.
It starts to move the timeline up just a little bit. And the fact that Marsh isn't doing well and Boehm looks like he's in his own head right now. So, yeah, the timeline, I think, has been moved up.
They already accelerated him, right? They already accelerated
him
to AAA. So they feel like he can handle it.
Also, you might just need to shake up things. You might need to show everyone, like, hey, we're not waiting around.
Well, and I think Topper was throwing darts for lineups this weekend.
It's unbelievable.
And I was okay with it. They're barely averaging 4 runs a game.
I know. Since the second game where they hit a bunch against the Nats, it's 3.2 since then. That's a long time without hitting.
And, you know, you had a caller earlier who was, I think he was really unhappy with Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
He's not been great.
He has not been great yet.
No. He's been okay.
He's been real philosophical, though. He's been
I don't do philosophical. Yeah, you've known me long enough.
Yeah, real. I don't like. He was.
What do you
like,
call it? Brain wrestling.
He was brain wrestling. He was trying to, you know, be philosophical, and I'm like, I don't understand.
I don't give
that.
A shit.
Yeah, none of us do. All right, let's take a call, and then let's talk about that lineup and what they could do at the top here. John in West Philly, what's up, John?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, John. What are you feeling today?
So I'm a little terrified of what's going on with the Phillies, and only because we're showing cracks in our armors. Like, our strong suit, which is pitching, relief help and stuff like that, like, it's just, I don't know where it went. They must have, like, signed somewhere else this summer. And then on top of that, it's real depressing, like, when you turn on the game, and like you said, the Masters is, like, the Masters was way more entertaining. I don't want to turn on the Phillies game and watch 20 batters, like, get out. Like, it's insane. Like, I'm literally going to sleep in the game. The game is 0-0. Nothing's happening. I'm waking up, and the score is 5-1. And like you guys said, that pitcher, now, I've probably watched baseball, you know, more than 5 times a week for, like, the past 2 years. That pitcher gets crushed by everybody. And just to watch, like, him do that to the Phillies, like, the first 4 or 5 innings, it was just over in the blink of an eye. And, like, it's just, I just really don't know what's going on. Like, I'm panicking.
Well, they did have a base runner after the third.
It's nuts.
So, John, I'm with you.
Those innings just, did go fast.
It was over in 2 hours and 20 minutes,
yeah,
I think.
It was them first four. I was mm-hmm. like, good Googly.
But the reason, to be terrified is where I kind of, like, when I saw John's thing up there, this isn't like, don't panic, it's just the first 15 games of the season. These are the same players that struggled to the latter end of last season and the playoffs. This is a continuation.
Yeah, if you go from the end, like when they went to London last year, and then after that they played 500 baseball, we're going on, like, you know, a lot of months. June, July, August,
size.
September, October, April, where they're just, they're not that great.
Yeah, and that's why you really can't, you can't get upset with anybody feeling the way that they feel about this club right now, because it's even though the chase rate is down, they're not chasing as much, there's a lot that's eerily similar to the demise from last year's of last year's team.
And there is a give and take before you make your next point, John. They're also at the they're not chasing as much, but they're not hitting as many home runs.
Like
it's great they're not chasing, but they're also not hitting for as much power. So it's like
we're making
better swing decisions but getting
weird
singles.
Play.
It's a weird combination. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, so what I was going to say was the thing that's like bothers me the most is just when I look around the league, like, you look at Mookie Betts, and it's like, he's willing to do anything. Like, if they told him to go out there and play first base, right field, left field, like, he's willing to do it. And Bryce Harper, who, you know, he's the puppet master of all these things, he's just the least willing to do anything. Like, he won't go back to right field. We got a hole out there. You're versatile. Like, we know you're great at everything you do, but if the team needs you for this day to do X and it gives us the best chance of winning, it's just, I just don't really understand, like, why you're not willing to do what we need you to do to win.
So I think he did say this offseason he would if they had signed Pete Alonso. It feels like it's specific, though. If you sign someone I like, I'll move to the outfield. Otherwise, I'm going to stay at first.
The way you said that was crazy.
So you limit the Phillies by telling them to sign all your buddies. You hold all of our money hostage with you and your friends. And then when it just doesn't make sense. It just seemed like he's a me player at this point. And that's what a lot of them guys look like. It looked like they've got everything that they wanted to get out of the Phillies, like, you know, popularity, all of the money, the fame and stuff like that. And it looked like everybody's just over it. Like,
yeah, that worm sounds like it's there about are, to start to
John's
turn.
Right. There are solutions on this roster, but the guys who need to do the saluting, the solutions, don't want to do it.
Well,
Brett, there's two major league outfielders on this team. One is playing first base. Okay. So, and then you have Trey Turner. Shouldn't be playing where he is.
I mean, if
right
Turner
now.
Played the outfield, they have two outfield holes. Yeah. And Turner used to play the outfield when he was young, and I'm sure athletically he could do it well. Like, he could run for days.
Yeah.
You could play Sosa at shortstop.
Correct.
Like, it would make the team better.
And Bryce Harper, try him at leadoff. I mean, there are solutions on this roster that, because I don't want to bat leadoff. I like playing first base. Trey Turner doesn't want to play in the outfield.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they're going to be stuck all year.
But isn't the reason why Bryce is at first, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, is because of his injury history.
Yeah, but that's healed.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Right, he went there because the ulnar thing had to heal. It's been over a year, right?
But I thought it was because of the history of him, his injury.
So I think the thought was maybe long-term he'll stay healthier.
That's what I was thinking.
For 4 months, he could go back to the outfield.
I see what you're saying. Initially, that's what I always felt. I felt that it was they moved him there and kept him there because it kept him healthy.
Yeah, in the beginning, correct. Yeah.
It always felt vague on whose decision it was to make this a long-term thing, theirs or his. I don't know.
That is true.
And maybe
that
it was mutual.
John, listen, he's been great at first base.
Oh, he's not going to take anything away from him. Unfortunately, the outfield sinks since he left. John, what's your guess for Hughes Clues? What animal was all over his algorithm this weekend?
I actually want these tickets. But before that, I want to say I really look up to all you guys, and I'm an aspiring sports journalist, sports writer, so I, like, literally listen to you guys every day. I love that you guys give people the chance to talk to you guys.
Well, John, you and everyone else that calls,
a huge part of this station,
John, and good luck with everything. All right, John, what's your guess? And what do you got?
I'm going to go Dire Wolf.
That's a good guess. That's a
John,
good guess.
I like that guess. Not it.
Because he listens on
the
regular.
He does.
And we talked about the Dire Wolf.
I told my kids they're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Even they were like, that might not be a good idea.
Oh, yeah. Your kids are smart.
Yeah, they're like, wait.
You don't know what that thing is going to eat.
Went extinct for a reason.
Big ass wolf.
What are we doing with bringing wolves back?
I don't know what it's going to eat either.
I have a thought. If something went extinct, we should let it be. There's a reason.
That makes a lot of sense. Like the dinosaurs?
Yes.
That whole Jurassic Park.
Well, let's not do that again.
Sometimes there's a reason. Other times, it's kind of our fault.
Right, but maybe.
Like as humans.
You mean like the Tasmanian dog or whatever?
The Tasmanian devil?
You mean Ben Davis's fault?
Ben Davis likes to hunt.
Specifically
like that.
Ben Davis's fault.
Oh, yeah. Ben's a hunter.
We could blame Ben.
I didn't know that.
Let's just blame Ben.
I'm blaming Ben for everything today.
He'll send me a text, hey, I'm up in the duck blind. I'm like, who does that?
Hold up.
Ben texting while hunting?
Ben gets his big ass in the duck blind. Ben, like what, 6'5", like or something like that?
He's a large man, yes.
Okay.
You want to go hunting with Ben?
I always want to go hunting, but number one, they get up way too early.
Yes, they do.
They get up way too early, and it's too much. You got to be quiet.
Yeah, you can't hunt.
You'd be really bad. Yeah.
That dog don't hunt.
That dog does not hunt.
You'd see something on your algorithm and start laughing, and the animals would run
away.
Can't
be on the phone. You gotta listen.
Yes.
Because I watch some of the videos that Trent does when he hunts. You got to be in
Trent's
that blind.
Trent's serious.
His kids are hunters now.
Oh, are
the
they?
Little boy, man, listen.
Yeah, I always remember he was a serious hunter.
Yeah, I can't hunt.
I've never hunted. I'm not against it. Like, people do whatever they want, but I've never hunted.
I've done skeet shooting before.
How was that?
My dad was a retired police officer, so I went shooting with him one time.
Cool.
It was really fun.
It seems kind of fun. I can see why people like it.
But I was shooting like pucks in the air,
So you had
skeet shooting.
Yeah,
that's fun. I've done that before.
You've done that?
Yeah.
All right.
I did it here in Philly, Pennsylvania, out in Westchester somewhere.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Recently? No, that's a long time ago.
No, it was a while ago, but I know that there's a clay shooting somewhere in Westchester. There's a place where they do clay shooting. It is really fun. It is really, really fun.
All right, outing.
At this point in my life, I probably shouldn't have a gun.
Yeah.
So,
I think most would agree
about that action.
Let's all relax. All right, Rhea, you had an idea a couple minutes ago. Let's flush that out. So Topper has changed the leadoff hitter three times this year.
I got to give him credit. He's trying.
He's trying.
It tells me he
thinks he needs to do something to shake it up. But you have an idea for a guy. We've seen Turner, we've seen Schwarber, and now we've seen Stott.
Yeah.
You want Harper to lead off.
Well, I mean, at this point, I think maybe in his mind, maybe he's setting it up. Look, Brett.
I've tried everything else.
I've tried this. I've tried that, because, baseball's changed these days. It's not. And Kyle Schwarber was great at it. I mean, we all loved him up there. But this lineup needs something. And I'm like, why not try it?
A jolt.
Yeah, that's all. To me, why not? It hurts you nothing to try it in the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season.
Well, and then part of the reason he did what he did Friday was with Schwarber behind Harper. Yeah. He said he was worried he's not going to get anything to hit. Well, if you put him leadoff, if they walk him, well, that's a problem because you're starting the game with a guy on base. And then here comes Turner and Schwarber. And if you pitch to him, maybe he'll get going. Hugh, I don't think there's a bad answer right now, but that one might be the best answer.
Yeah, if you just got to get him to do it. And I think that...
He better.
I think that... to tell a grown man, especially baseball players, in my opinion, to tell them what to do, I think it's more for this team. It's more of a suggestion.
I have an analogy.
What you got?
That might make sense. Mm. So say you have a team. Things are not going well the first couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So your leaders go into the coach and say, we probably should change the way we do things on offense.
And I've seen this story before.
And then the offense, the guy they turn it over to, not the, the stature guy on the team, they go on a historic run And at the end of the championship game, I'm not mentioning which sport yet, you'll probably figure it out, the guy who said, all right, I'm going to turn it over to this guy and let him lead us, said, you were the missing piece.
Yeah, I know
it's
what you're
Jalen
talking
Hurts
about.
With Saquon Barkley. I know what you're talking about. It.
But here's the thing, because this is where it feels like it's turning just a little bit, because it feels like Bryce is giving a lot of lip service, like right now, and not doing what needs to be, like,
what a Philadelphian see-through more than anything else.
I can't say it on the air.
Lip service.
Well, I was about to say something else that started with a B.
BS. See right through it.
When you asked me, I thought you were setting me up.
I wasn't trying to get you in trouble.
Hold the dumb button, Kyle.
It's like lip service.
Yeah. Why has the Asai Reddick been on four of the freaking
Ron Burgundy Douglas over here was about to just repeat it.
Because when she said it, I was like, it was easy. See through the BS. Yeah. But it feels like, because you say all the right things at the beginning of the season, but when it's time to make the crucial moves,
just do it.
Yeah, you gotta make them happen.
I think
man.
Topper's heart's in the right place, but I don't like.
Stotts, he's not asking the right people.
Stotts like their sixth best hitter.
He's not asking the right folks.
Yeah, it's almost like he's trying to change it up. I appreciate that, but is Stott the leadoff hitter? Really
are you
the
really? Are you? No, you should ask yourself. Are you really sacrificing? Are you really sacrificing for the betterment of the team?
You should be in the office going, hey, you should put me in outfield.
Yeah, because
something
needs to change. Yeah. And you talk about, to your point, you talk about the best protection is to be the first one up.
They can't walk it. If they do, they're cutting their nose off despite their face to start the season. All right. They come home now tonight. Giants and Marlins. Before the season, I would have said this looks like a really nice, easy week.
11-4.
The Giants.
Yeah.
And the Marlins are over 500. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's real or not. Probably not. But neither team looks like just a walkover. So they got to play well this week.
And how great do we think the greatest team ever assembled is right now?
The Dodgers?
The Dodgers.
Yeah, they lost 6 out of 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tonight, by the way, Hugh's guy's on the mound. The stopper, Taiwan. Is he going to save the day, Hugh?
Joe asked me this morning, Rhea, because him and Kyle like to put pressure on me, especially when it comes to his thoughts.
You're his
start.
He's your guy.
Hasn't allowed a run.
I know, I've been good, but
I need another big start tonight.
They asked me this morning, and I told him I don't even want to say.
Oh, no.
Because the problem, Joe, is with his team and their offense currently constructed, a 2-0 lead appears, a deficit appears insurmountable.
It might be.
At least the last couple games, he's had really good defense behind him because he got in a little bit of trouble. But tonight, I was telling him early on, like as of right now, I feel tonight, three innings.
Three innings?
Yeah,
that's not going to get it done.
No, in the fourth inning?
I didn't say it was going to get it done.
He still had like seven games in a row left.
This is what happens.
What are you doing?
This is on you.
When I'm watching tonight and I see the call to the bullpen after three innings, expect a text message.
No, Rhea.
Because it's coming.
He asked me. Because I was like, y'all, you guys need to stop coming to me asking me these questions.
Three innings is a little much.
Rhea, I said, that's
not enough.
It feels like tonight, Mike.
Feels like.
Don't you understand your responsibility? You're the Taiwan pitcher.
It shows just how far, how highly you really felt about it.
No,
you were doing all your nonsense about hope springs eternal. It doesn't bring that eternal.
No, listen.
Liar.
Really?
How can you say it? This is my guy.
You lied to the good listeners of the Delaware Valley.
First of all, you asked me to be forthcoming and honest, transparent.
That's a bullpen start, okay? That's
real. What happened to Saquon Walker? He was your guy last week.
No, wait a minute. You asked me how I felt about it right now.
You quit on a guy who hasn't lost in his two starts and has a what's his ERA?
Zero.
Yes, it's zero.
I didn't quit on him.
My God.
Three innings.
Are you guys going to let me?
That relationship lasted longer than Kim Kardashian's relationship.
Are y'all going to let me finish?
No, absolutely not.
Got to go to break.
We'll come back. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls coming up.
Crowd.
Thank you, Rhea. We appreciate it as always.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, your phone calls on the Phillies. Is it too early to have real concerns? And we'll get to a team everyone's been concerned about for years, the Sixers. Their nonsense press conference yesterday.
Four, five, Sixers.
Yeah, the best and worst of that coming up next. It is the Midday Show.
Everybody.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.
Every little thing gonna be all right.
Are you sure?
Yeah, just because I said three innings don't mean they're going to lose. Wow. Look good.
I mean,
that's just how I feel right now.
Yeah, I know. Because
I don't have a feel
for
it.
Well, we need your prediction by the end of the show. It's exact line. I mean, you basically nailed this two times in a row, so we're going to need that. Yeah, don't worry. I don't believe in that. I'm concerned. I mean, I think there's real concerns about this Phillies team a few weeks into the season. 2-4 road trip. They had 20 straight batters retired yesterday. The offense that's that second game of the year is averaging 3.2 runs per game. Not great. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones here. Hugh, though, can you help people out? Maybe a second clue for Hugh's clues, and then we'll get to the Sixers, who tried to sneak yesterday while the Phillies are going on, while the Masters are going on. Maury and Nurse tried to sneak an end-of-season press conference by us after a disaster of a season.
Well, they got that thing.
They did. Let's get this in and out before anyone notices. We'll let you hear what they said yesterday, as these guys are delusional. Hugh, what's your second clue for Hugh's clues?
My second clue is, this animal has a very interesting reproductive cycle.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it was
the algorithm.
The algorithm. Because when I did this, it was some other things that happened that made me wonder.
I'm looking at a threesome.
No, you set me up. But no, it made me wonder. And I was like, wait a minute. How does, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
this
fascinating.
Is regular thing to yep. think about. All
and
right, so
slather Vaseline on me. Dog. Can't wait till y'all figure this one out.
So an animal with an interesting,
very interesting
reproductive process, is that yes. what you call it? Okay, yes. there you go. There's your second Hughes clue today. And the winner today that can get this gets a 4-pack of tickets to the sold-out Eagles 2025 draft party. I can see people in their car shaking their heads.
No, they're like, what the hell is
this
wrong with this guy?
I have to guess this is the day I have to guess?
So it's sold out. Now, they're going to show up. And if they're asked how they got these tickets, like I guessed Hugh's animal like, with an interesting reproductive.
Weird old Hugh Douglas did this to me.
You're not going to believe the question Hugh asked for me to guess. All right, back to the phone lines. Your guess for Hugh's clues. And we'll get to more in what he had to say yesterday. And Paul George, what a wonderful first year in Philadelphia. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will. Will?
Will.
Will's deep in thought about this clue here.
Well, you know what? Good, because Will's take is a disaster.
No, I'm going to put Will on hold. All right. Let's go to Katie, who's up next. Hey, Katie.
Hey. So I don't know if you got... Hello, guys.
Hey, Katie.
This is a station I call to all the time. You guys, you too. But did you hear Michael Barkan at the end, at the beginning of the show yesterday, at the beginning of the post game? He said the other team's pitchers have figured out the lineup. The Phillies have not figured out their lineup. I was like, well, that's really true.
It is, right? I mean, and pretty average pitchers, Katie, for that Cardinals team. They're not like, it's not like they have great pitching, and they figured out, it didn't matter the order that how they lined them up. They figured it out this weekend. It was painful to watch. It's a good line by Michael.
And you know what else? I told the screener that, I worked in a career for 40 some years. If I didn't keep up my work and learn extra things and do what I was supposed to do, I'd have been kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, looking at these guys, I'm thinking, really? Like, Brandon Marsh looked like he had a weed whacker up there yesterday. I was appalled. He was just swinging away, and I thought, what is going on here? And everyone picks on me and texts me after the game because they know, like, I live in Breeze Phillies. And I'm just appalled. I just, and Alec Boehm, like, he makes me crazy. And I was flipping back to the Masters, and I don't even play miniature golf. So that's how bad it was yesterday.
It was ugly, yeah. And you're right about Marsh. He hasn't had a hit in the month of April. He strikes out so much. And Katie Boehm, half of me is annoyed at him, and half of me is I still feel bad for the guy because he's so far in his head. You could just see the emotions on his face when he makes an out. He's like he can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, but they have people for that. Don't they have like a sports psychologist?
They do. And I'm sure the Phillies have given him every opportunity. May, I don't know if he speaks to one, if he doesn't. I'm sure that resource is available to him.
And the only other thing I want to say, because I'll be calling back again this week probably, but, first of all, I'm waiting for Taiwan to implode. Every pitch, I forget about it. But the Brandon Graham tattoo, I always just tell my clients, and I've worked with females, never get a tattoo of any man's name on your body unless you've given birth to him. So that's just wrong on all levels. So,
you know what? That might be good advice for everyone. If you haven't given birth to someone, you know, don't put their name on you. That's a simple one. Keeps it easy.
Yes, I'll be watching tonight, and I got nothing. I'm like totally, oh, and my animal for Hugh, you know, I changed it. I was going to say tiger, but I'm going to go with beluga whale.
Beluga whale.
Ooh,
that's a good guess, Katie. Not it, but I can see Hugh.
I got to see what the second clue, how the beluga whale.
Are you going to search this specifically and explicitly?
Yeah. Man, listen.
Your algorithm is going to be a mess tonight after this show.
It always
is. As you're searching all these animals and how they reproduce here. Right, let's grab Will, and then we'll let you hear some nonsense out of the Sixers yesterday. End of season presser. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing?
Well, I mean, we've been better. I mean, the team's got shut out twice this weekend.
Yeah, I know, man. They gotta go back to the original, not the original lineup, but the lineup when we played the Dodgers. And I still say, right, we need to let Boehm hit first, man. Let him hit first.
But he's
But he's our worst hitter right now.
Oh, that's right. You don't want the worst hitter in the middle or at the end. Let him hit. Let him just.
No, you do want him at the end.
Let him just know all he got to do is get on base. Because I think he's overthinking and he got to, you know, hit and do extra.
Yeah.
Just let him hit. Listen, it don't hurt to try, man.
It could hurt tonight. I mean, if he goes 0 for 4, it hurts.
I mean, okay. But listen, this is my lineup. I would like to see, this is how they should start it. Boehm, Turner, Stott, Bryce, Kepler, Castellanos, Schwarber, and Marsh. I know I'm missing one, but
well, it doesn't matter right now. That guy probably can't hit either. Will, I appreciate the idea of creativity. I can't have Boehm getting the most plate appearances.
Not right now.
No, I mean
you might as well get it out the way.
No, I know, but for my sanity, Will, if he grounds out in the first inning and he's got tears in his eyes, I'm gonna have tears in my eyes. Will, I can't do this. Will, what's your guess? What's your guess for Hughes Clues?
Oh man, listen, I don't know. For some reason, I think. He's been seeing it on the news so much, like I saw it. How about the Dire Wolf?
The Dire Wolf, our second guest.
Man,
Will, appreciate it.
I mean, a disastrous phone call. So you're not Boehm leading off, didn't listen to a previous answer. Just brutal.
Not in on Boehm leading off?
Wolf.
You're not in on one of the worst hitters in terms of productivity in the big leagues right now, hitting leadoff? I'm out.
That's a lot to ask for.
Speaking of being out, I think most of the city's been out on the Sixers for some time.
Five Sixers.
Yeah. You know, usually around this is usually the time of year where we talk ourselves into the Sixers, into the playoffs, only to be disappointed within 3 weeks. The disappointment for this Sixers team has been evident for months and months. A disaster of a season.
We were supposed to go to the game this week, too. Well, the last two were Friday or Saturday.
We
had plans to go.
You checked out.
We never got back to each other.
Well, you didn't miss much, as they've been.
Obviously, we didn't miss a whole lot.
They missed some losses. I think they went 4-22 after.
But I think that's what they wanted to do.
Though they tried to tank.
Yeah,
but
they were tanking.
But I keep seeing a lot of like they did their job.
Who said that?
Well, like people are saying like.
Talking about as far as tanking.
The tanking.
Yeah.
But let's not forget what the season started as. They thought they could win a championship.
If you squint it really, really hard. Yeah.
They went 4-22 after that. All right, so the Sixers finished their season yesterday. Goodness gracious, it's over. Let's hear from Daryl Morey after the season. They had their wrap-up press conference yesterday. First on job security for Nick Nurse and himself commenting on that. Here's Morey yesterday.
Coach Nurse and myself will be back. But we're going to, you know, with Elton Brand and ownership, assess everything and where we can get better. We owe that to the fans. We owe that to really everyone who cares so much about this team, who stuck with us through this. And I want to thank the fans that have stuck with us.
Well, I mean, I don't know how many people actually stuck with them, like, day to day. I mean,
Not too many.
Not too many. What do you make of him deciding on his own job security? I'll be back.
Well, I would say this. He's probably going to be back. But what I suggest that you do, and I mean this with all sincerity, because you know I was trying to get that job. They never called me. Nobody ever reached out.
You want the PR guy, yeah.
You need to take sensitivity training classes. You need to learn, like in all jokes, and I'm not even joking. You need to learn how to speak to your fan base. Because even with what you just said, to me it had an air of it was condescending, because you talk about how much you care about this fan base, but you the same cat that was earlier in the year laughing about, you know, what was it he was talking about, squinting about going to the playoffs, yeah. And then you talk about what was it the AI, not Allen Iverson,
no, you're talking about artificial intelligence
and yeah. All like, you've had so many missteps, man, that if I'm being honest, and I think that I'm not the only one that feels this way, nobody feels comfortable with you at the helm of this team.
No.
But it's more than likely you'll be here. You need to learn how to talk to people.
To go off what you just said, he speaks as if this year was an accident, yes. While the rest of us look at it like
this has been a trend.
Yeah, well, you signed a bunch of players that have injury history, and then they got hurt. I mean, that's not as an accident. Yeah. That is you created this situation, and it went. Now, was this the worst case scenario? Yes, but that's when you have Joel Embiid and Paul George, guys that get hurt all the time. Worst case is certainly possible.
And not only that, you need to learn how to be truthful with the Sixers fans. You sat there in the middle of the season as we saw, like most fans knew when Joel Embiid was hurt, and Joel Embiid was focused on trying to find who told on him in the meeting as opposed to getting healthy and getting ready to play.
Yeah.
You should have known what we all knew, that this season was over. What? But you sat there, Joe, and you told us that we still had a chance. No, we didn't.
It was a lie.
No, we didn't. We didn't have a chance. You need to get some people skills and some sensitivity training for real.
And become a better liar, because you're a bad one. I mean, yeah, when he said
better GM.
Yeah.
You know what?
That, I like that one better. All right. How about the big three that they assembled this year, thinking it would compete for a championship? Joel Embiid, Paul George, and Tyrese Maxey. Here is Morey on those guys for next season.
Tyrese, I think, is the one. I think he spoke about it. He's got a little more time, but he should be back 100%, obviously. Paul and Joel also will be back 100%. I think Joel of the three has the is going to attack this off season, this rehab.
See that right there? That, come on, man. I'm only going by what I can only go by is what's being said. Joel Embiid was accused of not working hard in this offseason. He was accused of not coming in early, trying to get ready for the season. And you know what Joel Embiid was more upset about? Who told? How did that story get out? That should tell you everything you need to know. I don't know. I've had a lot of people since I've been here tell me that Joel Embiid works hard. And he's a hard worker. He does this, that, and the third. I've seen people, and I've been around people that work extremely hard. The one thing that they don't do, in my dealings, and you know, I know I'm older and this is a different time, they don't make excuses. They don't. I'm familiar with what Joel Embiid is going through, because, you know, knees or whatever. But for you to have whatever it is you're going through, and your biggest concern throughout that process was to find out whoever told on you, that is telling. That was like your battle cry for weeks.
It was ridiculous. Now, on top of this, I understand he's got to try to convey some sort of optimism for the fan base.
Yeah.
Don't lie. Don't tell me that Joel Embiid and Paul George will be 100% next season.
Yeah, because
these are injured players.
That's the thing, Joe. Because if you're being realistic about Joel Embiid's injury, it's a procedure that's not necessarily always successful. Like, the success rate for this procedure is not that great. So it's some cutting-edge technology type stuff that you're hoping that he can recover from. And I think it was even said that there's probably going to be some pain there that he's probably going to have to tolerate. Mm-hmm. That's not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, like, who's buying that? Like, who heard him say that yesterday? You know what? He's right. Joel and Paul will be back next year 100%. Yeah,
it doesn't look good. Joel Embiid's knee injury looks like something that is not going to get better, and that he's going to have to tolerate for the rest of his career plan.
And George has been off injured for a long time, and he's in his mid-30s now. I'm not counting on that guy anymore. Now the Maxey thing, 24 years old, it was a finger injury.
He should be fine.
Sure, he'll be. I imagine he'll be himself next year. That's fine. But don't lie to me on all that stuff. All right, let's hear from George. George spoke yesterday as well. George Paul, as he was called a few months ago on our show, and we didn't correct anyone because he didn't earn that. Paul George, George Paul, whatever, here talking about his first season as a Sixer.
It was just, to be honest, one of the toughest seasons for me, just with a lot of adversity on the court, off the court. And then, again, the injury stuff was some stuff that I didn't necessarily know I had going on until deep diving and finding out, like, there was, you know, other stuff that I didn't know was going on that was causing a little limitation, which was frustrating, right? Not being able to do things that I normally could do, and then finding out the reasons why those things are being addressed.
Yeah, not great. Not great, Paul. You know what caught me yesterday on top of this?
What's that?
Well, we joked last week that the Sixers missed the playoffs. Tobias Harris is in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Also, the Clippers, without Paul George, clinched a top five seed with James Harden yesterday. So they dumped George here. They let him go here. They have Harden. They're in the playoffs. And we got 20-something wins. Great. It's fun.
Yeah, and Crumble Cookie's in the playoffs.
Yes, as a sixth seed. Not even in the play-in, like the real playoffs.
I know y'all don't want to hear it.
I don't.
Okay.
I kind of do, actually.
What do you got to say? Go ahead. Say it.
He made that team better, man. He did.
Now, I could make the case that they were improving naturally with young players anyway.
But he put them over the top, man.
But I mean, I got no ammo for you on
this. Are you doing this again?
No, I'm just saying. Isn't it ironic?
Is it? Yeah.
Don't you think?
Here we go.
Congratulations, Tobias Harris.
It is a gut punch to Maury, though.
Yeah, like, it's ironic. Ironic.
We're gonna move off these two guys that no one likes, losers, and they win and we lose.
It's salt in the wound.
It is salt.
You shouldn't have said it. Now, you know what? You were right. You were right to want to hold that back.
You know what's funny? Now I see why people say I'm an instigator.
That's instigating.
It's so true.
Now I know.
The whole it's fascinating thing, that makes it so much worse, too, because you won't just get to the point.
I'm sorry, you people. I see.
Oh, you
why
did
y'all
that
feel.
Right there, you people,
no,
everyone?
No, because it's the you people on YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. The YouTube.
People.
By the way, you can watch the show live on YouTube. That's what he's referencing.
That's what they were saying. I'm an instigator.
You are.
That was but it's the truth. Some people just can't handle the truth. You people can't handle the truth.
Oh, my God.
That's what it is.
All right, that's enough.
I'm talking to you people.
Let's go to some truth from
the truth.
Truth from Ron and Monco. What's up, Ron?
Giraffe. Snack.
It's not giraffe.
Giraffe.
I like the guess. He thought the answer was giraffe.
That was
because they're long and tall.
Yeah.
Well, I got around the screener. That dude is rough. Your screener.
The screener.
Excuse me.
Our screener that has a name.
He's brutal, dude. I pulled a double move on him.
What does that mean?
You're brutal.
Wait, he had to answer the phone. How'd you like? What does that mean?
Oh, here's how he answers the phone. I can't hear you. Bye. That's it.
He does that.
I can't hear you, Bob.
Ron, I gave you like 10 seconds. You didn't say a word. I figured if I hung up on you, you'd call back like you always do, and like you did. So I was right. Actually.
All right, Ron, what do you got in the Phillies?
on your fucking Phillies. Anybody watch any baseball other than the Phillies?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch it on the Chiefs. I'm watching O'Hoppy play. Didn't we trade O'Hoppy for Marsh?
Yes, bad trade.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Listen, you know what broke the back? I mean, just finished this team off. Trey Turner signing. That did it. He supposedly checked all the boxes. Lead off, defense, speed, average, and a little bit of power. And he has completely not checked any boxes. I mean, this finish the team. As far as I'm concerned, you can do whatever you want with this team. It ain't happening.
Well, to your point on that, I heard someone call. I heard the morning show today, and they were talking about Dombrowski and Middleton and spending. And there's two parts to this. One, I do think that they capped spending this offseason. They stopped, right? That's why we have. But to your point on Turner, like if you have a GM and you give him $300 million to play with, if he spends as much as he did on Turner, that complicates everything else. Because you need a lot more for that dollar amount, Hugh, than they're getting.
Yeah.
And that's why they're going cheap in center and they're going cheap in left, and it's not working.
They're done spending the money. And listen, it's not just him. They're talking about the other pitcher. You just gave Aaron Nolan $170 million. I mean, this thing is – I mean – you know, this is the Titanic, and it's sunk. I mean, I'm telling you, it's done. And you know, Bryce Harper, I don't know. We're getting to see what kind of leader he really is. And this is going to be ugly, man. I mean, this is going to get everybody. Nobody's going to survive this. It's going to go all the way down to Harper, because Harper played a big role in putting this, and everybody in Philadelphia knows that. He had a lot to do. I want this. I like this guy. I like that guy. And Middleton bent over and said, okay, Bryce. So this thing is collectively done. It's just, you know, when does it take its last breath?
All right. What's your updated win total, Ron? How many games are they going to win this year?
I said 87. I'm going to stick with the 87, maybe 85. Listen, it doesn't matter what they do in the regular season, because they're just – and the pressure thing, that's another thing, okay? The pressure. Did you notice the three times that we lost? The pressure. It was the pressure. Mm-hmm. And guess what? The pressure in the fourth year is even bigger, because people have had it with this team, and you can see it.
They're wearing it right now. They you can feel it on their faces.
They're wearing it hard, Joe. Joe, this is I'm telling you, when this is over, Joe, it's going to be worse than those 11 years that you and I spent at 6, 8, 9, and 10 at
FBM. No.
Oh, yeah,
I can't go back there, Ron. I can't do those days again. Nope, I can't do it.
It's you're there. You got these. Yo, remember watching the big unit for 4 years, his last 4 years? You know how painful that was?
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, when he was chasing the win number 300, yeah, that was
times
ugly.
Four times five. This team is going to be buried. Listen, if you thought that 10, 11, 13 year contracts were a good idea,
well, they weren't. The Harper one, at least you could justify he was 25. Turner was 30. I mean, that was a joke. That was a joke. Yeah, but
Joe, listen, when you brought him in, what did you have? You had the building and you had the fanatic, and that's all you had.
That's why they brought him in. I get it, Ron. Well, Ron, although he invoked the Titanic, did still predict him to win in the upper 80s games. Titanic feels like 75 wins.
I'm the brutal one.
Yeah, okay.
We're about to experience a worse stretch than the 11 years before this.
If that I can't do that.
It's not going to
happen. Well, they won't be that bad. I will say this, though. If they're only going to win 85 games, they're not making the playoffs. That 85 is not good enough.
I think they're going to be better than that. It's just
they better be.
They still have time to figure this out.
Yeah,
and you still have buttons you can push.
Well, and then we find out how quickly they push those. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop board. All right, your phone calls to the other side. Your guess is for Hughes Clues. We got a great prize today. I mean, this is an incredible one. A 4-pack of tickets to the sold-out Eagles draft party at Lincoln Financial Field, presented by Lincoln Financial Group on Thursday, April 24th, a week from this Thursday. We're going to be there doing our live draft show.
Live.
You come in and say hi as we figure out who the Eagles are going to take at 32. 4-pack of tickets to give away today. Hughes Clues, your guesses. The winner today gets this prize. All right, 215-592-9494. On the other side, we'll get into the lineups, or all the lineups. What is Topper doing? Why are there different versions at the top? Three different leadoff hitters. Do we like it? Do we hate it? Who should actually be hitting leadoff? We'll hit all that next. Your calls as well. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, Easter is just around the corner, and you know what that means? It's time to elevate your celebrations with the unbeatable flavor of Hatfield ham. So when you're planning your Easter grocery shopping list, remember to add the delicious tradition that is Hatfield ham. If you want to put some more pork on your fork, grill up a juicy and delicious marinated pork tenderloin. I like those. Serve with a side of bacon Brussels sprout salad. Now that sounds tasty, people. The possibilities are endless. Visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and retailers near you, and find your flavor with Hatfield.